This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you so much, Gudiel, for joining us this morning. I want to begin, if you could help us understand what's really at stake in this. Is this a fight between democratically elected leaders and a palace that is constitutional but overstepping its constitutional remit?
Yes, good morning. I think the issue has arisen because Yang Di-Pertuan Agong wishes to have more names to select from for purposes of determining who he should select as the Attorney General. But I think there is a fundamental misstep here as far as the appointments is concerned, because the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong has got non-discretionary and discretionary powers. In a large part, he's the formal head of state, but he's not head of government as such. The government is, of course, run by presently the Pakatan Harapan party headed by Tun Dr. Mahathir. Now, in all non-discretionary functions, and there are a large number of them, of which the appointment of the Attorney General is one, the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong acts on the advice of the essentially the Prime Minister. And there is a very clear provision in the Constitution which says that in such situations when you act on the advice of the Prime Minister, then you are obliged to accept and act on that advice. This means, in fact, that there is no discretionary power vested in the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong for purposes of choosing the Attorney General. He has to accept whoever is nominated by the Prime Minister.
Now, Gudiel, I just want to interrupt there. The front page of Uttusan has a quote, a researcher of the Constitution from UTM, who says that, in fact, the Agong does have the right to not take the advice of the Prime Minister. Is this a question for some debate? Or are you very certain that this is how the Constitution ought to be read?
No, it's not a question of how the Constitution ought to be read. But there are two very clear provisions in the Constitution. One is Article 41, and then there is reinforced by Article 41A. Now, 41A says, for example, in the exercise of its function under this Constitution of Federal Law, where the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong is to act in accordance with advice, on advice, or after considering advice, the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong shall accept and act in accordance with such advice. I think there cannot be anything clearer than this, that there is no discretion as far as the choice of the person nominated by the government is concerned. But I think where the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong feels that he is entitled is to say that there should be he will accept the nomination accepted by the government, but what he wants is to have a couple of names so that he can determine whom he wishes to choose from. Now, that then falls to the government of the day to decide whether or not to give those extra choices. But if there are none, and the government is insistent upon one particular name, then it's difficult to run away from the clear wording of Article 41A, which says that accept and act in accordance with such advice, shall.
No, Gudiel, are we reaching what some people are saying is a brewing constitutional crisis? If the palace refuses to sign off on this single name that's been given to him, can he just continue to do that for as long as he wants?
Well, I mean, that is up for debate, because there's one intervening event now, because the Conference of Rulers, from what I read, is going to meet on Wednesday. And the Conference of Rulers does have a power to advise the to provide advice with regard to any appointments. So that is advisory in nature only. So it is possible for the Conference of Rulers to look at it very carefully and then to make a determination as to or provide the necessary advice to the king, who's primus in Paris as far as the kings are concerned, the sultans are concerned. And then for the king to act on that particular advice. But the position is that there is no... In fact, if the advice is given in accordance, the conference of rulers give the advice in accordance with Article 41A, and if they seek an interpretation of this, then I think the matter will be resolved quite easily. In other words, they would then have to accept the nomination provided by the Prime Minister.
Right, Dato. So when you say quite easily, what's the timeline here? So we understand that the council will meet tomorrow. And could we see Tommy Thomas become the new AG of Malaysia tomorrow?
The council is meeting on Wednesday, I think, for a start. But I don't know about the timeline. There is a provision in the constitution also saying that where the young Diputan Ogong is unable to act for any reason, then the deputy steps in. So this could be one of the, if it is personal to the young Diputan Ogong and he himself feels that he cannot sign on to this because he needs more names, then I think it is possible for the deputy to step in. Whether he would do so or not, I think that would depend upon the committee amongst the rulers themselves.
Dato, any reason why the government is so adamant on Tommy Thomas?
I don't think it's a question of being adamant. I think it is a question of seeking a person who the government feels would be best placed to provide them with advice. We must not forget that it's almost like the government choosing a lawyer of their choice to advise them in their affairs. And as you know, people have the right to choose their own lawyer, a lawyer with whom they feel most comfortable with. So I think it's not a question of being adamant. It's a question of having made a choice, the whole Pakatan Harapan coalition, and having looked at, I'm sure they have looked at a variety of candidates before making of their minds. So it's very much a question of choice of the person that they feel can best provide them with advice and continue with the job of the Attorney General.
Good. One of the things that we hear on social media, and this is not chatter between constitutional lawyers, but it's just kind of ordinary chatter, and from NGOs, saying that the pushback really has to do with the question of race, or it has to do with the question of religion and the whether Tommy Thomas as a non-Muslim can do the work that's necessary to advise the ruler, in this case the Agong, on matters of Islam. What do you make of that chatter?
Well, on the question of advice on matters of Islam, I think there is a provision in the Constitution which says that on all matters all matters relating to Islam, the Parliament can establish, and I think they have established in the past, council to advise the young Diputan Agong on matters pertaining to Islam. In fact, the Attorney General, under the Constitution itself, is told to deal with all matters except matters relating to Sharia law, court-martial, and one more facet. So actually, the question of Sharia law does not really arise. As far as ethnicity is concerned, I think in the past, it's a question of getting the best lawyer or best advisor to do the job. So it's not really a question of ethnicity as such. I mean, we have judges who are not just of one race. We have had in the past, post Merdeka, 1959 to 1963, we had a very eminent jurist, a constitutional lawyer, Sheridan, who later went on to write a book and become a professor of law. He was Attorney General, and we also had Adi Nahapan from 1970 to 1974.
Right, Dato. So with the little time that we have left, be it Tommy Thomas or whoever will be the next AG, and beyond matters related to ethnicity, what do you want to see the new AG tackle first?
Well, he has to tackle the numerous cases that are pending in courts, which... according to the coalition government itself, been initiated as a result of some extraneous reasons, some serious cases involving sedition, There are also cases under Section 2331A of the Communication and Multimedia Act, where online transmissions which annoy or harass a particular person, these have been levied against cartoonists, against literati, against members of parliament. So this is one of the areas that he'll have to address almost immediately. And the second one, of course, is these laws that the government says, the present government says, once repealed, he has to look into those, as well as the prosecutions of people who are now being investigated for a variety of crimes.
Thank you so much, Gurdial. That was Dr. Gurdial Singh Nija, constitutional lawyer. We're coming up to the next bulletin, and then we'll be back with more news and analysis. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.